In reverence to the reading of the Word of God, Mark chapter 4. And the Word of God says, "And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the ship," or sat in the sea. And that means he didn't sit down in the water. It meant he sat down in the ship in the sea. Amen, for you skeptics. "And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." You can be seated. Dear Father, we approach the throne of grace this morning carefully, cautiously. Lord, we realize today that we're a needy people. Lord, you've prepared a menu for us, and you're spread the table for us now. And I pray, God, that we will feast from the riches of your grace and deliver the menu to the people of God. Help us to take it to heart. Help us to be serious-minded. Help us not just to be hearers only, but God, today we put the Word of God to work in our souls. I pray we'd not push anything aside, but God, we'd feast. And Lord, we'd get what we need from the table of God, that we might go out of here different than we were when we came in. Lord, I pray you'd touch every ear, every heart, Lord, that we might be able to get what we need. And we'll give you the glory, the praise. Save some soul. Touch some wayward individual. Touch that that's weak. Strengthen that, and Lord, that's discouraged. And I pray today, God, encourage that one that's doing the work. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. We humbly pray. Amen. Looking with me in chapter 4 here, the Bible said, "And he began again." I mentioned this Wednesday night as I was in the third chapter of this book. That word "again," I want to point it out one more time to you. It starts back in chapter 2 and verse 1. I like them words, "again." Amen. He said in verse 1 of chapter 2, "And again he entered into Capernaum." Chapter 1, he went to Capernaum. Chapter 2, he goes back to Capernaum. In chapter 2, in verse number 13, the Bible said, "And he went forth again by the seaside." Went again by the seaside. Now, there was not but one sea. Three names in the New Testament: the Sea of Tiberias. We also find there's the Sea of Galilee and the Sea of Gennesaret. Those are the same sea. Jesus had a ministry by the sea. Then he said in chapter 3 and verse 1, "And he entered again into the synagogue." Amen. He was a churchgoer. Amen. Set an example for you. He went again to the synagogue. And then in chapter number 4 and verse number 1, "And he began again to teach." Where? By the sea. Then in chapter number 5 and verse number 21, notice these. Just since we're there, we'll get all of them out of Mark. "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship. He's down at the sea again. Amen. Chapter 7 and verse 31. The Bible said, and again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, down at the sea again. Chapter 8 and verse 13, and he left them and entered into the ship again, departed to the other side. He's down at the seaside. And then we find in chapter 8 and verse 25, after that he put forth his hands again upon his eyes. This wasn't by the sea, but we find that this man here was blind, and God touched him, and he touched him again, had to touch him the second time. I say some of us need to be touched again. Amen. I didn't say saved again. We need to be touched again. Amen. For the course of the way the mode and mood of the service is, we need to be touched two or three more times. Amen. For some, I don't understand. Maybe y'all stayed up too late or got involved too much yesterday or something. Amen. Amen. You ought to see you from here. Amen. Don't even have to have binoculars. But I'm saying to you this morning, Jesus went again. This man came to him. He was blind. He touched him. He said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking. Jesus said, come here. I need to touch you again. Touched him again. In other words, he saw men just like some of us do this morning. Men, just individuals, just people without a need, a people without a soul. And we never get to see people with a soul. I'll tell you right now, we'll just let them go by us. We'll let them slide by us on the right, slide by us on the left, and one day wind up in hell because we haven't done anything about it. But Jesus said, I want to touch you again. He touched him in the second touch he gave him. He said, what do you see? He said, I see men as men. I see men's got souls. And that's what we need to do today, see men and women with souls. Going back with me in chapter number 4, I want us to look at something here. There's something that I want you to look at when you get home. I ain't going to spend time to preach on it now. But jot this down and see if you can pick all this out of this chapter about Jesus. Four things. We'll find in this chapter 4 his ministry. You'll see how he's working now. He's been baptized. He's in the work of the Lord. He's doing the work of God the Father. He came in the world to seek and to save that which is lost. And now we find his ministry. And then if you look at it, you'll find through the parables, we'll find his method of how he does it. And then we find not only that, but we find his message of what he's given. And then in this chapter, you'll not only find it, in the end of it, you'll find his majesty. Brother, it's all about Jesus in chapter number 4. Going with me looking at this, he's down by the seaside. He's gathered himself a crowd. They're looking out there. Not everybody that's in that crowd is right. Not everybody in this crowd is excited to be there and wanting to hear him. Some of them are there for speculation to see what they can find and see what they can pinpoint, pick out on Jesus, as we studied out of chapter number 3, to see what they could do to put him to death and get rid of him. And that's exactly what the devil wanted to do before he ever got to Calvary and gave himself on the cross. The devil knew if he could put him to death and if he could crucify him, or not crucify him, if he could just get rid of the Son of God in his ministry, he'd be scot-free. Amen, down the years and the centuries. But he knew that Jesus came into the world to do the job because he had more sense than most folks did at that time. He remembered the promises that God had made. Now looking at something with us out of the Word of God here, we'll find in chapter number 3, Jesus said after he's got in the ship and the ship's in the sea and the crowd's gathered around by the shore of the sea, and Jesus begins to speak. And the Bible said in verse number 2, he taught them, but in verse number 3, he said, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Let me just tell you something before I get down in this thing and we don't get this and we miss it. I just want to tell you this morning, there was nothing wrong with the sower. Nothing wrong with the sower. Jesus is the sower. And there was nothing wrong with the seed that he was sowing. He was sowing the Word of God, because he is the Word of God. Now I want to say to you today, The same thing goes for this year, this day on the calendar that we're living. There's nothing wrong with the sower. And there's nothing wrong with the seed. Every time preachers get up, and I'm thinking about this morning, about this time in our time zone, many of our preachers are standing behind the desk and starting like I am, a brand new message, and they're preaching and they're delivering God's word. They are sowing God's seed. Amen. When we come back tonight, we'll be sowing the seed. But you know, when you're out in the public and you're passing out a gospel tract or witnessing to somebody, you're sowing the seed or whatever you're doing. And when you're living godly and trying to live a dedicated, consecrated life before a lost world, you're sowing the seed of God. And brother, that seed is the Word, and the Word is incorruptible, and it'll do its job. So we just got that out of the way. There's nothing wrong with the seed, and there's nothing wrong with the sower. Now, let's look at some indicators. There are four different things here that he points out about the sower and the seed. And all of us in this building will fit in one of these categories. You'll be in one of these when I get through this morning. You will fit in one of these. Nobody will be exempt. Everybody in this building will fit in one of these categories. I pray this morning the Holy Ghost will let you see where you sit, where you stand, who you are, where you are, and where you're headed. That's my desire. Brothers, I look in the Word of God. I'm not up here preaching to rattle. I'm not up here preaching to make a racket. I'm not up here preaching to beat the wind. I'm not up here this morning to please you or displease you. I'm here to do one thing, and that's to sow the seed that God wants sowed. So let's look at it. Here's what happened. The Bible said in verse number 4, and it came to pass as he sowed. Who? The sower. He said some fell. What fell? The seed. Some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. That's all he said about that. But now they come to him later in this chapter and said, explain that to us. Would you put it in a little bit of better technical terms that we can understand? Get it in some plain terms. We are plain people. We want the plain truth. And that's what we need, is the plain truth. So let's go down in verse number 13. And here's what it said. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? Then he said in verse 14, the sower soweth the seed. Verse 15, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now down here in verse number 4, he said the fowls of the air take up the seed. But when he puts it in the terms to understand, he said it's not the fowls, it's Satan that comes and destroys and devours the seed. Now in the Bible days, I mean, they sowed by the wayside and they had their fields and they went out and they sowed that seed. And that seed had to be covered and that seed had to germinate and come up. But of the road or by the wayside where people traveled up and down the road, it was hard ground. It was not plowed ground. It was not soft ground. And so some of the seed would fall by the wayside. It'd go over here to the place and people would trample it under their feet and the birds would come and take it up. And the Bible said and teaches this. He said it's like this. When the sower goes to see it, sow the seed. When the preacher gets up to preach, when the man of God begins to declare the word of God, then what happens is he preaches and sows the right seed. And the right seed goes out there. But then all of a sudden here comes the devil and crawls upon the case and crawls upon the shoulder of that individual that's heard the word of God, and his heart becomes hard and he decides to refuse it and walks away from it and goes on down his way. Hey, he said, that's what's happened to some of you. When you hear the word of God and when the seed is sowed, you don't listen and you don't pay attention. And what happens is you go on down the road without God. Now this is a type of the lost. Brother, we find this exactly the same thing happened to the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, and according to chapter 3, another little group called the Herodians. This crowd that followed him in a great multitude. He had a great multitude, but some of the multitude wasn't so great. There were some things that was not right with them. And brother, when that great multitude was sitting there before him, he's speaking to them the word of God. Some of them were listening to the word of God to see what they could find that was wrong, to see what they could find to pin on Jesus, to find what they could do to argue with it. And guess what they did? They went on down the road against him and said, "Hey, we will not hear this man." Every time a preacher gets up to preach, brother, you're going to have to do one of two things. You're going to have to hear him and accept it, or you're going to have to hear him and refuse it. Amen. And the Pharisees and the scribes refused it. That's like a bird's coming, taking up the seed. You've heard the truth. You've heard the word. Amen. Preacher after preacher's come across and said, "Hey, we must be born again. We've got to be saved. We've got to be birthed in the family of God. We've got to be forgiven of our sin. It's the blood that washes away our sin. It's the blood that forgives us. It's the blood that gets us in." And the preacher preaches that day in and day out, week in, week out. And people just kind of flood that thing off their mind and push it off to the side, pay no attention, and go out and talk about the preacher, make fun of the preacher, say things against the preacher, and laugh at what he said, and laugh about the way he said it. Hey, I want to tell you something. The preacher gets talked about the way he slings his hand, how he flips his lip, amen, and everything else. And brother, they don't pay no attention, and they're just trying to find fault with what he says. Brother, it's just like the devil trying to steal away the seed, and you'll die that way and go to hell unless you let it fall upon some good ground. Amen. Is that plain enough? Now that's the first one. Well, he said the sower went out. When he sowed something else. In verse number 5, he said, "And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth." I know a little bit about this. I cleared off some property where I live. Several years ago, we cut off a big bank and leveled off the property. And we hit a lot of rock. And we dug out some of them rocks, big old rocks, got them out. And sometimes when we finally quit, we got pretty close to just a solid rock bed. So we decided, it happened to be about where we wanted to be anyhow, so we decided we wouldn't dig any deeper. Just enough dirt to cover the rock. So I decided we need some trees out there, and I put some trees out there. Been out there for many years, and they're just about like this. Not very big. I mean, you couldn't even make much firewood out of them if you cut them up. Might let them dry and use it for kindling. And you know why? Because they can't get deep in the ground. And if we let them continue, I cut one of them down the other day. When you get old, other day could be 3 or 4 months ago. That's when it was. Amen. Time passes by so fast. But guess what? I've decided if they got big anyhow, they're on the top of the ground and the wind blow them off. So that's foolish to plant something on top of rocks. But he said the preacher gets up to preach and he preaches a little bit. And he gives the truth. There's nothing wrong with the way he's preaching or what he's preaching. There's nothing wrong with the word that he's preaching to the seed. Actually, nothing wrong with the sower. But when he gets through sowing, he finds out that he has sowed it on some stony ground. It's got just a little bit of ground. Just enough that when it hits that ground and the sun hits it, it springs up. Now, he said this in verse 5, "And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." Never amounted to nothing. I pastored that crowd for years. I got a few in here now. You said you ain't calling no names, and I'm not tacking no names on it. I'm already in enough hot water. But don't pry me. Don't pry me and don't try me. And don't try to say, "Am I one of them?" I may tell you the truth. Matter of fact, I will tell you the truth. So I wouldn't check it out. I'd just find out where I was. And I'm looking at this and I'm seeing in the Word of God that we need a little bit more clear indication of it. So we'll go to verse number 16. "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. Praise God, what a message. Shook me up, stirred me up. And then it said this, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction by persecution ariseth from the words, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now what's he saying? The preacher preaches, he sows the seed, the sower's sowing. And they say, praise God, I know I need to get saved. And they run that aisle and they get in the altar and they get up and they say, I've been saved and birthed in the family of God. And truly I believe they get a real conversion. Now they're going out saying, hey, I got saved. Been born again. They get a new outlook on life. They get them a Bible, start reading the Bible, start praying. They're excited about what they've heard. Now the seed's been sown on stony ground. It's come up. But now persecution comes because they have no deep root. They're not anchored. They're not steadfast. They're not bound deeply to the Word of God. And persecution comes, trials come, and afflictions come. And the next thing you know, they've give up and quit. They get so discouraged. I've pastored people like that for years, and they can't get off of that, can't get out of that. Amen. We need to get where the ground is, where we can get root. As a lot of people has been put in churches, but they have not studied the Word of God, not accepted the Word of God, and they do not grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior. We've got a lot of churches you could go to for 40 years and never grow in the grace of God too, by the way. Preacher not teaching the Word of God. I know people now, I tell them sometimes something about the Word. I never say, my preacher's been at our church for years. I've never heard that. I just say, well, you need to get you a new preacher, a new church one. Amen. I can't stir you up every once in a while and give you something to help you. Amen. You need one or the other. Need a new church or a new preacher, or you need to get down to business with yourself. One, something's wrong. Some people, now there's just some people, you're not going to teach them anything. My grandson talked to him on the phone yesterday. He'd been in a band, band camp or something this past week. And I said, did you teach them anything? He said, no. I said, you went all week and didn't teach them nothing? He said, no. I said, did they teach you anything? He said, they taught me a lot. Well, he had it on the right scale, you know. I said, well, did you learn it? He said, yes. I said, good. Now, as some folks go to church, they hear something. Amen. And it just goes in one ear and out the other. I went to school myself 100 years ago. That's what a lot of that done. I'm trying my best sometimes to get some of them teachers taught me. And I said, they taught me that one time. What did they say? I mean, now I wish I'd have paid attention. You young folks, listen to me. Now I wish I'd paid attention. But sometimes we go to church and it goes in one ear and out the other. It's falling on stony ground. It ain't going to take much to stir you and shake you out of the beaten path. And you're going to be over yonder twiddling your thumbs and up in the air and wondering what in the world's going on and how am I going to get any further? Some of you have been in a Christian life state for years and years, but you're like on stony ground. Things just seem to bother you. Now, I don't know anybody in here don't have problems. Has anybody in here ever not had one? Never had a problem in your life? Praise God, I was going to sit down and let you get up here. I've had problems, haven't you? And I still have problems. But I've seen some that just fall all to pieces. I can illustrate this on our printing presses down here. Amen. I've trained a few to try to print. And the old press, and I've been doing it for a long time, back the old type, like y'all still got over yonder, them good ones, you know. And I get them things started, and them old presses that come through there, and all of a sudden here falls a sheet, hangs up, and it's a bump on them in the floor, and I just reach over there and flip off the air and flip off the press. And I've been training some, and they're going, they don't know what in the world to do. Amen. And Brother Verger used to do that. He come in, but now he run better than I can now. He's been doing it so long. And it don't bother you now, does it, Brother Virgil? Amen. Not him. He don't get all excited. He don't like to have no mess ups. But I'll tell you this, he don't get. I've seen them where they wanted to run out the door, leave the machine running. But I'm saying to you, I've met people in the church, and you let one thing have the old car tore up, and Lord have mercy, the world's ended, and the dog got sick and had to take him to the vet. Amen. And that tore him up, and something else happened that tore him up. Can't get it under control. Have you seen that? Stony ground. Okay, let's look at the next one. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. The old sower got up and sowed another place. Sowed the good seed. He was a good sower. But this time, it comes up, looks good. It grew up, and the thorns did too. And the thorns, if I know this correctly, the thorns always grow at a faster rate than what you plant. Boy, I'll tell you what, you would never have trouble with morning glories if they growed slower than the beans. But the fact is, they grow like kudzu. Amen. My mother-in-law, she's not with us any longer. But one day she got upset with some of the family she was living on the property of, and she went and got her some morning glories. Seed. Now, I've never had to plant them, they always come up, but she got some morning glories, and out of revenge went out there and put it all over the garden spot. And then when they planted the crops, they had morning glories galore. And then she inherited property. And she had problem with morning glories. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is, on stony ground, it don't have no root. But then on the good ground, some of the ground that you grow, thorns have come up, the weeds come up. So what are they? Let's look and see what they are. Let's go down, please, in the Word of God and find out a little bit more about this. Verse number 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. They come up, but to never get to grow up, because everything else, the cares of this world, making living, buying cars and building houses and new clothes and new shoes and what do they do out there on them greens? They call them putt arms. What do they call them things? Golf clubs. There we are. It could be all that stuff. Those things become important. And they grab all that and run. And boy, they get so excited. Going here to the world's fair. Going here to this and going here to there. Hunting and fishing and everything else on the sun. Sports world takes over. Well, you got time for all that. You ain't got time for God. Amen. Now, you can tell I ain't got time for it because I don't even know what's going on. A fellow sat with me one time and asked me something about a feller's name, and I said he played for the Braves, and I found out he was a football player. I don't know anything about that kind of world. That's just not my world. Here's my world, right here. And I look at this, and I look at it, and I see it. And he said the cares of life, raising babies and working on jobs and getting new cars and what are we going to do about putting the best tires on it and everything else? That all takes precedence. Who cares? Amen. As long as it's got a tire on it and it's still pumped up, who worries? I don't. Amen. And he said, they finally just become unfruitful. They don't die, they just become unfruitful. We've got a lot of people in our churches today that they've had the good seed, they've been sowed the good seed, they've heard the truth. They know the Lord Jesus is their Savior. They've been born again. They're saved by God's grace. They're going to heaven when life's over. But they're just happy-go-lucky. I don't care where anybody gets saved or not. Don't care where anybody comes to church or not. Don't care where the church moves forward or not. I ain't got time for all that. I'm busy about running up and down the road and doing this and going here and going there and just satisfying my flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe that's where we are in America? And I found out it's hard to do anything. You can't build a church on that kind of stuff. Hear me! I'm not beating the air. I'm preaching the truth. But now, some of you done got labeled, you won't ever get to this next one. You done figured out where you are. You done rejected it and walked off from it, so you back over in number one area. Some of you done been planted on stony ground and you ain't anchored yet, and went with just one wind, the doctor will blow you over. Hey, amen. A Jehovah's Witness can knock on your door and you're ready for a Bible study, and you'll be an ex-Baptist and a future Jehovah's Witness next week. Amen. Because you've been on stony ground. You said, I see some of you shaking your head. No, well, amen. I just found the category you're not on, but some of you didn't shake your head, so you may be there. Some of you just laying low. You don't want nobody to know where you at. Amen. That's like most church members. The FBI don't even know where they are. And if we don't have a cell phone, we can't track some of you. Amen. I'm hearing you. Listen to me. But there's one more category. Verse number eight. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Some of them fell on good ground. They come up, they got nourished, they got anchored. They growed in grace. They were on stony ground. Obstacles and troubles and trials and tribulations don't bother them. They've given up the world, the things of the world. They've separated themselves unto God. They come in good ground. They're nourished and they're strengthened and they're encouraged. And all that's on their mind now is just trying to live for God and win souls. I find a lot of times it's the older crowd that gets there. It's not always, but the older crowd is not no excuse for the younger ones. There was some young Timothys in Paul's day. I have met some young teenagers and young folks who'd rather have God as the world. They're few and far between, but they are some. Amen. You little old boys and girls in this church today, you get up a little bit in the years, and next thing you know, it's not God that you got on your mind, it's boys or girls. Regardless where you're a boy or girl, that's going to get you in trouble. Now see, you livened up and woke up a little bit now. And so you better make sure that you're doing what's right. What's wrong with a teenager getting their Bible and studying it and praying and seeking the face of God and trying to get God to use them the best in the rest of their life? What's wrong with that? Not a thing. It's just not popular. It's not normal, so to speak, to the world, but it's normal to the people of God. But this seed fell on good ground. It come up, and now someone out to be soul winners, and all that's on their mind is to win souls. Now seed has been planted so that seed can germinate and come up and produce more seed. Every one of us in this building are the results of somebody sowing seed. All of us in this building are the results of somebody planting seed. May have been a Sunday school teacher, a preacher, a deacon. May have been a dear old mother, or a grandpa, or a grandma, or a daddy. But somebody taught you the Word of God. It might have been a neighbor that you saw, but I'm telling you, they sowed the seed in your life, and that's the reason you're where you are today if you're doing something for God. And you could be the reason that others are going to follow you. It may be after you're gone, but you have the reason, or have the obligation this morning of teaching them something. Now you can put yourself in any one of these categories this morning. I trust that you find yourself in the last one. The rest of my days, I want to win souls. I want to do what I can to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of my days. Amen. Tried to do that for many years of my life. But I want to do more of it now. The bad thing is our thinking gets better when we get older. All that thinking and all that mind I got today is going to just be buried one day. And you youngers going to have to come on and learn what I've learned already. I wish I could come back and learn, know what I know now. Don't you wish you could too? God didn't make it that way, but amen, I ain't so sure we'd make any better decisions, but it'd be a good try, wouldn't it? Amen. Now, for you folks that believe in reincarnation, you might think you got that opportunity. But don't bust your bubble. It won't work. No such. You're here, get ready, and you're going to leave. They're going to plant you soon. Amen. If you live to be 100, that ain't going to be but just a few days from now. They're going to plant you. Make what you do today count for the glory of God. Has it fell on good ground in your heart? Stony ground? Thorny ground? Or have you just let the devil ruin you and waste your life and steal the seed away from you? And all you got on your mind is just things about the church and against the church and against the preacher and old things that you've seen happening, rehashing and going over, instead of letting the Word of God sink into your heart. Save your soul. Heads bowed this morning.